This week kicks off the 92nd season of Jacob's Pillow, the premier international dance festival. In a nine-week celebration of some of today's most groundbreaking artists and dance companies performing locally, nationally, and around the world. It all began Wednesday. It runs through Sunday, August 25th, and will feature indoor performances in the historic Ted Shawn Theater and outdoor performances on the Henry Lear stage. Visitors to Jacob's Pillow this summer can also note progress being made on the construction of the reimagined Doris Duke Theater, which is scheduled to open next year. Companies featured in this summer's lineup are an eclectic mix of Jacob's Pillow debuts and longtime audience favorites who have appeared across more than 50 years of the festival's history. To give us an idea of what will be going on over these 9 weeks, we welcome back Executive and Artistic Director Pamela Tachi to the roundtable for a preview. Good morning, Pamela. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. I'm very well. Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
It's wonderful to have you on the show, as always. We're very excited when Jacob's Pillow starts operating, and we know that such beautiful and incredible work is being done in our region, and we have the opportunity to bask in it. Give us a sense of this particular week, of what it's been like in getting ready for the kickoff.
Oh, thank you so much. It's especially on today, which is like the most glorious Berkshire day. It's to be up on top of this mountain and, you know, look out at the Lear stage that has the backdrop of the Berkshire Hills. It's sort of, it doesn't get any better than that. We opened on Wednesday with Sean Stevens, who's an enrolled member of the Stockbridge Munsee tribe, who came from Wisconsin with his family and friends to perform. And it was so moving to welcome them back to their ancestral homelands. And then for something completely different, we have the Trucks all this week in the Ted Shawn Theater, arguably the best gender-skewing all-male comic ballet company in the world, and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. So it's been so fun, and people are so happy to be back. And we have a lot of new people who are discovering us, and that's so exciting to have them say, oh, this is what Jacob's Pillow is. I think unless you come, you really don't know what we are.
So that brings up a question that I didn't think I was going to ask you, but I'm curious. How did you get them there? Those people.
Well, that's a very interesting question. I think, first of all, we have over time really worked very intentionally with our marketing department to do two things. Work in a very grassroots level with community organizations, inviting groups to come with their social constituencies, which is when you're coming to a place for the first time, there's safety in numbers if you're coming to a place that you've never been to before. So it's that kind of grassroots work, and then so much work with social media. The thing about dance is we have such incredible content, imagery, and we really have, I think, gotten more and more sophisticated in how we use social media to bring in new people who we think, you know, would love it here. And so, yeah, I mean, we do big analyses at the end of the summer to see where our new people came from and what are the threads that we can pull out so that we can do that again in the coming year. But that's just a little bit of a sense of how we do it. But we measure ourselves on new to file patrons. Like we will, as a 92-year-old legacy organization, we will only stay relevant if we continue to broaden our reach. And we're doing that in person. And as you may have heard, we're doing a lot online as well.
I know we've discussed this in the past, and I'm interested in how COVID not really affected Jacob's Pillow as much as COVID affected the many dance companies that Jacob's Pillow welcomes. And because it does have an impact, doesn't it?
Yes. I think for companies and for the performing arts field, we are still recovering in great measure. What happened, you know, is very nuanced. on the one hand and very deep on the other hand in terms of the impact of the pandemic on artists. People who do what we do, present performing arts companies that tour or that we'd like to have come to our communities, people in general, performing arts presenters are getting more conservative. They're going for greater known quantities, the names that people have heard of. And that really affects emerging early career artists who are working in more experimental ways, more ways that might highlight issues of social justice. So that risk-averse nature of performing arts presenters, I'm afraid, has been activated, and it's going to take time for us to build back audiences. Not for Jacob's Pillow. I have to say that in general, Jacob's Pillow, because of the loyalty of our members, people who have been coming for years, they want to see us keep moving the needle forward, and they are adventurous in what they will attend. But I think that's one thing. The other thing is that people post pandemic are doing less. They have less of a fear of missing out than they did. So a patron here who might have taken, you know, come every week for 9 weeks, maybe they're coming to five things over the course of the summer, which is still healthy and wonderful, but the impact of that is serious. It means that we have got to build up our new audience members, and that in turn affects the artist. The other impact on artists is artists need space, time, and money to develop new works. And we have residency centers in this company, like the Petronio Dance Center, which is just, you know, very near here in New York State, that is closing. We have Lumberyard, which is in the Catskills, that's shifted away from artist residencies. So artists, in order to keep that innovation going, keep that work going, need space and time, and that's really been has decreased since the pandemic hit.
You just used the word adventurous, and I want to glom onto that for a moment and ask the question of what is it about dance as an art form that makes it so adventurous, that makes it available to that style of creativity?
So I think, first of all, there's a really profound relationship between artist and audience, in that I, as an audience member, I have a body. I feel my body when I'm watching another body move through space. I viscerally connect to the fact that is a creature like me. And when I see that creature move and go to places that maybe I can't go or haven't ever been, I have a direct feeling. I can feel the impact of that. And it's not mitigated by words, by an instrument. It is a true, when we talk about a universal language, it's an embodied sensation. So I believe that because of that, let's say, basic trust relationship between audience and artist, an artist has the capacity to move us in ways that other art forms don't. It's different. I'm not saying it's better, but I'm saying that it's hugely accessible. And that is across the continuum of dance. So last night we had this incredible company, Mad Rhythms, from Chicago. They're a tap company that they had 15 dancers on stage and a live DJ. And by the end of the performance, the audience is on their feet. They're moving with the dancers because over the course of that performance, they've built that relationship. And by the way, they're performing again tonight and they're sensational. So what I'm saying is I do think that dance artists have an ability to be adventurous because of that premise, that relationship.
It seems that trust is such a word too, and that almost like it's these train cars of the audience trusts you trust the companies who come in, the dancers, the companies trust the dancers, the dancers trust the architect of that creativity. That is a spectrum of trust that that comes together, that has to come together, that allows you to present these incredible performances.
Absolutely.
What are the challenges in doing that?
Well, I think first of all, as we are moving forward and really wanting to center BIPOC, LGBTQA+ artists, disabled artists, we need to have a sense of welcome. How do we create an atmosphere where all are welcome here at Jacob's Pillow, not only our artists, but our audiences? And so the challenge is to build the atmosphere, to train our staff, to have our patrons understand when they come on the campus of Jacob's Pillow, Jacob's Pillow is a crossroads of so many different types of people, traditions, genres, backgrounds, and that's what makes it so great. And so how do we create a sense of belonging and welcome so that we are bringing in for the artists the audiences that they want to see? And so that's a challenge that takes time, that takes a real multi-layered approach. I think also, what we know is when, and I get to make these calls, when I pick up the phone and I call someone and say, we'd like to present you at Jacob's Pillow, it's a dream come true. From that very moment, they have this fantasy of what Jacob's Pillow means. And so, gosh, we've got to deliver on that when they come.
Right.
So care for artists, connecting them. Our archives are so extraordinary in terms of, say you're a member of, Dance Theater of Harlem that's coming to close our festival. Dance Theater of Harlem had its company debut at Jacob's Pillow in 1970. Ted Shawn, they hadn't been presented in New York yet. Ted Shawn, our founder, said, you come here. We want you here. And that history, that means that the dancers who come, we make sure that what's going on in the archives when they walk in the door are films and photographs of the dancers who came here before them. Right away, they feel that connection. So that level of living up to that reputation, both for the artist that we want to have come here and the audience member who's maybe come from abroad and studied in dance history, Jacob's Pillow, and they're finally going to make their pilgrimage here. Like that, to make sure that all of it is alive, is present, and gives people a sense of belonging is a challenge, and it's a blessing at the same time.
All right, so let's talk about the fun stuff, Pamela. Let's talk about the season.
Good.
That is
no more challenges.
No,
Joe, please.
No, this is all downhill from here. We'll talk about all the good stuff. You have the wonderful, you beautifully described it a moment ago. You get to call these companies and say, come to Jacob Pillow and perform for our incredible audiences. So in give us the brief look at some of those phone calls that you made, some of those companies who will be coming, and how that fills out a 9-week season at Jacob's Pillow.
So, first of all, there's so much to look forward to. Of course, next week, many of your listeners, I hope, know. I hope we've made it clear that the Royal Ballet of the United Kingdom is making its Jacob's Pillow debut in its exclusive U.S. engagement. That was a negotiation that began in 2018 and culminated last year when the artistic director, Kevin O'Hare, came to the Pillow to he had never been here before and made the decision that his company should not only perform in the Shawn, but also on the outdoor stage. So it is a complete takeover next week. I think of the call I made to Agustina Vidala, who is the artistic director of Social Tango Project in Buenos Aires. These are astonishing tango dancers who perform with incredible live musicians who have only been to one other place in the U.S., so this is their first major U.S. Engagement. And they will not only take the stage in the Shawn, but they will host a milonga, a party after the Saturday night performance, which is a tango party. There's a big tango subculture in Albany, in Boston. They will welcome eight couples onto the stage to dance with them at a certain point in the show. So we haven't presented a lot of tango at the Pillow, and I'm really excited about that. And, you know, I'm just picking out some highlights. There's so much, and people should just go to our website and see what they want to see and what excites them. We're also welcoming companies to the Pillow who haven't been here in years. Mm. David Parsons, who was a dancer with Paul Taylor, who has created Parsons Dance, which tours around the world, hasn't been to the Pillow in 25 years. And so we are welcoming Parsons Dance with an incredible program that features the music of Earth, Wind, and Fire. It features, if people know Parsons Dance, then they know this solo that's performed with a strobe light entitled Caught. And that's all I'm going to say because I want people to see the piece. As well as a beautiful new work by Jamar Roberts, who's a very rising star in choreography, contemporary choreography right now. So that's a company. And the Trox haven't been here since 2010. So those are two companies. The third that I would say hasn't been here in a long time that is coming back is Momix. Momix, people may know, are a company that of incredibly athletic dancers who perform with visual imagery, with spectacle, with props, and they make things happen on stage that are magic. It's a fantastic show for families. It's so popular. We just added a Thursday matinee. Mm. And people may not know that last year we added a Friday matinee that is turning out to be, it was a really good decision. This is a post-pandemic decision, in fact. You know, fewer people want to drive to Beckett at night. So we moved one of our evening performances, the Friday night, to a matinee. In the case of Momix, we added another matinee on Thursday because it's so popular. So I hope people will come and see that. And then, you know, maybe I'll highlight Camille A. Brown, who's an artist who has just had a meteoric rise in New York. She choreographed Fire Shut Up in My Bones at the Met, an incredible opera that she did there. She is the choreographer of Hell's Kitchen, currently running on Broadway. Yep. And while she's had this incredible notoriety in New York, she has kept her own company going, Camille A. Brown and Dancers. And something that people may not know is between festivals, we are now a year-round organization, and we have an incubator for the development of new work. And so she created a work entitled I Am, which will have its world premiere at the end of July here at the Pillow. And in fact, this weekend,
Pamela,
in Pittsfield,
we are out of time, but I have to. I know we could go on for a lot longer. I just want to get
I
thank you so much for sharing with us. I want people to go to jacobspillow.org. They can see the full schedule there. We'll have you back later on in the season so you can sort of talk about the second half, if you will. That would be wonderful. But it's jacobspillow.org. Pamela Tachi, thank you so much for being with us. A delight to have you as always.
Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate it. And best wishes for a great summer.
Thank you to you as well.